Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we bow one more time and I humbly pray this. Lord, we pray this now that that you continue to be with us this morning. Lord, we trust that you've led us this far in the service, in our song service, Lord, and that hopefully, Lord, we come with prayerful hearts. But Lord, we just pray that you would guide us in this service. And Lord, that all things that are said, preached, lifted up, Lord, that it would be a sweet smelling savor in our nostrils. Lord, we pray for your hand over us, Lord, that again above all things that in our hearts we would have and only one desire, Lord, and that would be an obedient spirit, and to do things only that would be pleasing in thy sight. Lord, we thank you for this place that you've given us to come in out of the elements. But Lord, we also pray that we may never be lifted up in this place, this physical place. Lord, we know that you are a spirit, and Lord, that it's not bound by four walls. And Lord, we pray just now for these requests that have been lifted up here this morning. Lord, each and every circumstance, you know each one, whether it be families that have lost loved ones, Lord, those that are in nursing homes, Lord, whether they be caretakers, Lord, those that face sickness, you know the needs, Lord, and we just pray that you see those according to thy righteous will, and Lord, that you would bring peace and comfort, Lord, if it be thy will, physical healing. But Lord, we know most of all that the biggest benefit would be a visit from you, Lord, whereby we know that you are a great physician, Lord, not from a, we know you can physically, but Lord, from a spiritual sense. Lord, we know if we're alive spiritually, Lord, that's the greater reward. And Lord, that we not be distracted by these carnal earthly things. Lord, we pray these things along with the forgiveness of our exceeding sinfulness. And Lord, we again pray that you'll be with Brother Dennis this morning as he comes to preach thy word and give us a hearing ear. We pray these things for thy blessed name's sake. Amen. Amen. Just turn to Romans chapter 8. Again, I'll ramble here just for a minute. I know this particular passage of Scripture had been, I said I wasn't going to do this again, but here I am. It's been preached on often here, and we've been told that the popular places in Romans 8 don't just start there. We've been told and admonished to go read beginning in chapter 1. And I'll just go ahead and say this. I didn't think I was going to say this until maybe a little bit later, a couple of my thoughts. But if we don't read 1 through 8, then the verses in chapter 8 that most people want to go to and start, they don't mean that they're empty. Mm-hmm. They're empty. Because then you take them, in a sense, out of context. Yeah. And about who the Lord's talking to. So, again, I want to talk about, it seems to be, I guess if I had a continual theme, it would be the duty of a Christian. It seems to be, I seem like I talk about that
you can't
a lot. So, you know, if the Lord, in reading some scripture, that's a thought I have. I pray for the obedient spirit, and if it's a few words, that's what I want to talk on. And with that being said, as Christians walking this earth, that's what we're commanded to do.
Yes.
We're commanded to be obedient.
Yes.
And again, we have a rule book or a guidebook that tells us how we ought to. So again, I want to say, let's look at self first and foremost and think about our church body. Now we can easily look around and apply and see where carnality has crept in to the Lord's church.
Yeah.
Worldwide. So, other than prayer, we can't do anything about that, but we can take care and see to and be stewardship or good stewards of this thing that the Lord blessed us with.
Exactly.
So, I'm going to read the beginning. I want to back up again to keep everything in a proper context, and it's important anytime you read the Scripture. But so very important here. I want to back up at the 25th verse of Romans 7. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with... Let me start over. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Brother Paul here just broken himself down.
Yes.
Into two people. Spiritual man or new man, and carnal man.
Yes.
He himself had broke himself down. So, going into chapter 8, this has nothing to do with heaven or hell.
Mm-hmm.
This has to do with the Christian experience.
Yes.
Of the child of God.
Yes.
Are we going to be obedient or are we going to be disobedient? Verse number 1, chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did you hear that, saints? No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. But if you walk after the flesh, you know what? There's condemnation. There's condemnation. So again, this is timely language here, talking about here and now. Nothing to do with heaven, more glory. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is sort of the verse I want to speak on just for a second. It says here, when I first read this, it said the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. Until you stop and begin to break down a verse of Scripture, sometimes it marvels me how through the ages the Lord has blessed me, because there's not always been a strong concordance, you know. So sometimes to get the proper context of some of these things, without a little aid, so to speak, it could get tough as far as the meaning of some of these words. But this fulfilled here, for whatever reason, I looked it up in my concordance, and this here fulfilled also has a connotation to being perfect,
yeah,
or applied to, or showing forth.
Yes,
that's the connotation. Yes. So again, if we're not walking in the Spirit, the righteousness of the law is not fulfilled in us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fulfilled because it's not evident. It's not manifest.
That's right.
The law of sin is what's been shown. So verse number 5, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So when we desire to be obedient to the Lord, we're serving the Spirit. And when those things, like that old hymn said, that the foolish things that fill our hearts, when we bring those into the assembly, you know what? They infect the assembly.
Amen.
They infect the assembly.
Amen.
And again, I want to talk about our assembly to keep that from happening.
Yeah.
That we should be vigilant, prayerful, that foolishness would stay out.
Amen.
Would stay out. You know, again, when we look around, and Brother Dennis and I were talking yesterday, at any given time, and probably more times, well, I'm not going to say probably, I'll give myself too much credit. More times than not, that foolishness, that's what fills me up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what fills me up, if I'm honest. Man, I'm not believe so. He's given us His guidebook, His rule book, His word. He's given us Jesus.
Yeah.
He's given us Jesus where it don't have to be so.
Amen.
For it to be carnally minded, it's so rich. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm going to stop there. So if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. So I'm going to flip back over here and read verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So again, 8 just backs up number 1. Mm-hmm. If we're walking in the flesh and not the Spirit, we cannot please God.
Amen.
Whether it's in our daily walk or whether we come through the door and we're carnally minded, fleshly minded. And if we do, again, we infect the assembly. Yeah, those things we infect it.
Yeah.
So let us pray that we would more so be spiritually minded and not carnal. Because if we're carnal, we're dead.
Yes.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
There's some things that are in my mind to say. I'm thankful for what we just heard.
Amen.
There's some things that are in my mind to say, but I'm going to hold them because it is so easy. You know, I've told you many times there in Romans chapter 7 how the apostle said that I find that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And in my own personal experience, and I know that covers a wide array in the experience, but in my experience, where that fact is most effectual is that sometimes when the Lord sends us a good thing, then the flesh is perched and ready to grab a hold of that and use it to his own self-fulfillment. But I will say that Dan had a very good point there about Strong's Concordance not always being available. And it is, I've got one or two of them there. I think one of them was one that Brother Marion had for years. But anyway, it's good and it's a help. And being at the point of intellectual laxity that we are, it's almost, I said almost a necessity. But what it called on the saints to do before they had this was to be very avid students.
Amen.
Of the Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah, now, I want to talk to you about Jesus this morning. And I don't know where to start. David, I believe it's in the 45th Psalm, he said, what I mean when I don't know where to start, it is addressing the enormity that is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
David said in the 45th Psalm there, and I'll probably hit and miss it, but he said, my heart is indicting a good matter concerning the King. And that word indicting there is I believe in the English language, the word we use for indictment for legal matters has a C in it.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't have a C in it, but it means, the Hebrew means an overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
He's overcome. He's thinking about the King, and he's overcome. And he was truly overcome. He wasn't just babbling along. He's in quiet meditation and he's writing these things as he's thinking about the King. And I want you to understand something. David was aware that the King, according to the flesh, was going to come through his loins.
Amen. Amen.
At least I feel like he was. And it humbled him when he was walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. We have the record. God didn't hide anything concerning his vessels. We have the record that David walked after the flesh from time to time. And when he did, he was dead.
Yep, that's right.
To the fellowship of God.
Yes.
What does it mean to be dead? I don't know where this is going to go. It means to be separated.
Yeah.
And death is the ultimate separation. It is the unbreachable separation, so to speak, on the part of the separated parties. I appreciate what the old Puritan John Owen said when he said, not only in terms of the love of God and the relational experience, not only did we need to be reconciled to Him, He needed to be reconciled to us. You remember what Dan read to us there a minute ago? The carnal mind is enmity against God. And so when David was fallen in the flesh, he was dead or separated. And as long as you and I are following or being led by that old carnal spirit, that carnal nature, then there is a gulf in terms of our experiential fellowship. There is a gulf there that cannot be spanned. In terms of us in that position and any ability that we have, not only that, there's no desire. When we Christians are in the flesh, there is no desire to be nearer to the Almighty and His Christ. But he said, here he was in after the Spirit or in the Spirit, and he said, my heart is in, and I would encourage you to go back and read Psalm 45. He said, my heart is in dying a matter concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And I assure you, this morning, as my heart is contemplating the King, the best my tongue can do, Brother Bill, is just make some chicken scratch scribbling.
Let it be to His praise.
And I, throughout the course of my life, I've been in positions and in different circumstances, and I've been a part of it. I must readily admit that in the course of my life, I've been a part of the lessening of the glory of Jesus Christ. And Paul, the Corinthians, they had gotten puffed up in themselves, and they were, in terms of understanding, they were an able group of Christians. And up to a point, they had been fruit-bearing. And the law was being shown as fulfilled in them. The righteous law. But then pride began to stand up. And the men, it's always been this way, and we're still doing it. We're doing it now, and we have. And the reason it's so easy for us to come to it now is because we've not pursued the Word of God.
Amen, amen.
We have said, I don't have time right now. I'll hit a verse or two, or I'll get to church Sunday, and the preacher will tell me, or I've got a book over here. I'm going to have to quit that. But we have not pursued the Word of God, and for us to have the enjoyment of some of the things that Brother Dan talked about. For there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And what Paul is talking about, I want you to understand something, saints. Paul is not talking about saints who go party down and get drunk and partake of
carnal vices and carnal pleasures. Now, some of that may be involved, but that's not what he's got primarily on his mind. And as the exhortation was, go back to chapter 1, start right there, verse 1, and read all the way on then to chapter 8.
And then when you get to the end of chapter 8, proceed on through 16, or 15, I believe it's 16 chapters in there. You're just halfway, so your journey's not over. You're just halfway. The Word of God tells us that Jesus is the author of our faith. It says He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, concerning this Jesus, I want you to know something. If your faith is attached to or rooted in something that excites the senses in terms of it, and we've talked about it so many times, I've been as bad as most, and as bad as some, and worse than most, in the imaginations that I would draw up in terms of what a hope in the life to come would look like, and what it would be like. And not only do we do that in terms of hoping for it, our imagination gets so worked up and carried away with us that we begin to publish that that's what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
When the Word of God is contrary to that philosophy.
Yes.
It says, "It hath not yet appeared what we shall be in the resurrection." But we know this. Paul said there is a crown of righteousness awaiting me, which the Lord will give me. Not only me, but all those who love His appearing. And that is who love His appearing in their understanding.
Amen.
And when the Lord, when you start beginning to pursue the Lord to appear in your understanding while you're here, you'll stop fixating on imaginations about Him coming when He comes. Don't worry about that.
Amen.
Don't worry about that.
Amen.
He's going to come with a trump. And it says the trump and the voice of the archangel, I believe. He's the archangel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ain't going to be nobody, no, nothing flying along beside him.
Amen.
No. But you and I can't even begin to imagine what that's like. But He has given us so much. God has been faithful to have provided us with so much of Him that our understanding cannot contain the fullness of it. And even the things He began to teach, John said, if all the things that He began to say and teach were written, I suppose the world would not contain the volume. But if our hope and our faith, you know, there are many people who say, oh, my faith is that I'm going to heaven. And they have imagined a heaven that suits their feelings.
Yes.
We've all done it.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you, if that's what your hope is attached to, it'll fail you.
Yes.
Peter was there and everybody likes to pick on him. And how he was, his leaps and bounds above the rest of us in his faithfulness to the Lord.
Yes.
He denied him. Well, I can't count the times I've denied him this morning.
Yes.
So don't go there. Okay.
Yes.
He was leaps and bounds ahead of us in his dedication to the Lord.
Yes.
Might have been misplaced from time to time.
It was ours.
But he said, The Lord said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. Now, by the way, Peter was not, he was not building his faith, strengthening his faith on hopes of going to heaven and it being a big party. No, he was building his faith on drawing closer unto the Lord of glory.
Yes, amen.
What do you mean, preacher? Well, let me remind you. It's so easy. It's so easy to bring to memory the negative things, and it's so much harder to bring to memory the positive things. There's a vast multitude of people that followed the Lord around, listened intently to His teachings, and applied themselves in many ways, but He got to one place when He began to, when the Lord began to start teaching that there is absolutely nothing attached to or in man, in humanity, that they can call on and exercise to bring them unto me.
Right.
Nothing. And He said it in a seemingly hard way at one point. And He said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. And the same concept, the same precept, is under consideration right here. There's nothing in you.
Yes.
It has to come from me. You have to be made a part of me in that sense.
Yes.
Jesus was not demanding them to be cannibals. But as he began to do this, men said, well, we can't. While David in the Old Testament, while his heart was indicting a good matter concerning the king, and he knew that he needed to decrease, he said, very close to that there in a few Psalms over, he said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity.
Thank you.
Blessed is the man or whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are hidden. So he's in and out of himself. He sees his impotence, total lack of strength, and is acknowledging the Lord in his messianic Christ. You know why Jesus is called the Christ? It sets forth the implication that he was marked, and the idea there is that oil on the thumb, and he was marked to be a sacrifice.
Amen.
That's what the Christ point is.
Amen.
That's why I'm not boasting. You might think it's strange. I don't say the man Christ Jesus anymore. I say the man Christ Jesus.
Yes, yes.
And I believe that's how it ought to be referred to.
Yes.
The man sacrificed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if our hopes are affixed to something, you remember what old Brother Jude said? He's talking about these who had men's persons in under consideration for advantage and so on and so forth, and how that they sought things to excite their lust. And as I said, that doesn't necessarily mean that vile immorality. I want you to understand something. If you're dealing with an outwardly immoral person in terms of coming together in the sense of, okay, I'm here and they're here, you are better with a person like that than you are a person who would come out the doors of the church after a Sunday morning service, and in their mind they were thinking that they were superior to those others because of what they had believed, because of what they had done, because of what they had prayed, or whatever.
Yes.
that man will come for your head a lot quicker
Amen.
Than the dope addict will.
Amen.
But if our faith, I never did say. When Jesus said the hard saying, there were those who said, Lord, this is a hard saying, who could do it? And they left off following him.
Yeah.
I'm getting back to Peter here if I hadn't lost you.
Yeah.
Peter, Jesus looked, turned to his 12, and he said, will you also leave me?
Yeah.
And this was one of the positives where the Holy Ghost was with Peter. Well, the Holy Ghost hadn't come yet. Yes, it had. He just hadn't come forth.
Amen.
He was there all along. He's been there.
Amen.
Amen.
And he said, Lord, to whom shall we turn? Where would we turn if we left you? Thou alone hast the words of life. What was he counting his life? He was counting that this, you're the only one who can connect us to know God.
Yes.
That's the life he was talking about, a knowledge of God.
Yes.
Jehovah.
Yes.
So think about that next time you think about old Peter denied the Lord. And the men that are quick to bring that up, they're projecting how much more faithful they are than Peter, and he's an apostle. But in another place, Jesus said, Peter, Satan desires to have you that he'd sift you sweet. And that was the response to his dedication to the Lord. So my dedication and your dedication can be misplaced and can bring at the kindest a rebuff. And sometimes it calls for a rebuke. But he said, I prayed for you that your faith had failed not. Now the faith that is the gift of the Holy Spirit cannot fail because it's His work. But the exercise therein where we grow in that, that can fail. Jesus said, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, and oh Lord, this one has been almost witchcraft what we as professing Christians have done to the Word of God. Jesus said, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say unto that mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it would. And people would go about, oh, we just had faith. Forgive me. Jesus was not talking about some sort of phantasmic physical miracle. You know what he was talking about? The mountain he was talking about? He was talking about Sinai. Remember, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And when Paul was addressing it, he was addressing it mainly to those who were claiming that they could claim Sinai and be justified or uncondemned in Christ. And then all the other stuff goes with it, see? Any carnality, but that's what he was mainly interested in. And Jesus was saying, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, and listen to the saints, let me get to this. I said I didn't know where this was going. And what he was pointing to was if you just had a minuscule amount of faith, but if it was fixated on me,
yes.
when the condemnation of that law come to you and bore down on you and imprisoned you and squashed you into the dust, you could say be cast into the sea, Sinai, and it would be. Because why? My hope is on the man Christ Jesus, not on anything that I can do through a prescription, a set. And all the time that I'm saying these things to you, I understand that men are going about in darkness, and they're sincere.
They're sincere. Now, they're without excuse in terms of having a way into the light, so to speak. They're without excuse in that. But at the same time, I've been groping about in the darkness, and Jesus said, be you merciful. Be you a merciful people. Especially if you've been brought out into the light. Be a merciful people. Why? Because your Father is a merciful Father, and you, through experience, know that.
Yes.
Nevertheless, men, having encouraged the saints, the lambs, it's like Brother David Bradley, I was talking to him on the phone the other day, and he said, sometimes I have to wonder. He said, you know, he said the scriptures from time to time reference to how the shepherds have been treating the sheep. And he said, so then I have to ask myself, have I been feeding them cardboard? Have I done it from time to time? And then the stark, honest realization is, yes, I've done that from time to time. But nevertheless, it is still the Lord takes His sheep very, very seriously. And men who, and we're not even going to come into question, well, he was called or wasn't called. We're not even going to get into that. But men who are presenting themselves in the position, this is what scares me about myself. Because guess what? We might look over, or we might misidentify, or we might mischaracterize the stewardship of a pastor. You know, in the physical exercise of the church, I'm talking about. And we might do that, and we might say, well, we fit into this group here, and we're against that group over there, and we're just waiting to see how they go. And we might do those things, because that's carnality. That's carnal. Because when we're there, our heart is not indicting a good matter concerning the King. And while we might have a lackadaisical view and approach of the under-shepherd or the stewardship of pastors in the earth, you can, if you can't believe anything else I say, you can believe this. The Lord takes the stewardship of His flock very, very seriously.
Amen.
And He will hold His under-shepherds, His pastors. We're ready. We saw it.
Yeah.
Just a week or so ago. He will hold His pastors to account. But then at the same time, He holds His sheep to account, because if they get carnal desires and go to pursuing those, then He will supply them pastors to scratch their itching. But our faith is not attached to, is not anchored on what we have imagined heaven to be and who we're going to meet there. And I'm going to say this to you, and I'm not being cute. I want to know, and I'm confident I will. You've heard me mention my daddy many times. While he was a great positive influence on my life, I cannot begin to measure how I let him down as a son to a father. And that's okay. I'm not making excuses or seeking pity.
And when he passed away, when the word came that he fell over dead, it was crushing. I was beginning to grow into a relationship with him, a Christian brother relationship. I wasn't near where I wish I could have been. But I began to perceive him as my brother in Christ more than my daddy, while I never let the other go.
Right.
And Brother Bill can tell you about that. I do not expect Mary Holt, when he departed this earth, he probably weighed about 65 pounds soaking wet. He was heavier than that. He was a frail man. He had sickness, and he was frail, and he didn't have any hair, and he had false teeth, and he wore glasses, and he had hearing aids. And so he's a pretty low end physical specimen, but there was a spirit in it. And while, and I don't say this critically, and it's like Brother Charles Taylor comforted me one time. I said, Brother Charles, if my daddy was living, I'd have to say in this particular thing we disagree. And I told him in tears right back there. And he said, well, Brother Dennis, I'll just tell you, I'm glad your daddy preached it as far as he did. And when I think about him with fondness and love, listen to me, as my brother, as that spiritual relationship that he and I had that was made possible by the Almighty in Christ Jesus, I don't want to see Marion Hope when I get to heaven. I want to see, and listen, see, we've blown it so out of proportion. I want to know him, and I will, in heaven, and everybody else that's there, people that I've never met, no familial relationships, no nothing, there's not going to be any of that. I'm not trying to hurt you or tear you down. But I'm going to tell you what I want you to see. As I said, there was a spirit in him, and it was of the Almighty. And if there is a spirit in me that is a good thing, it is of the Almighty.
Yes.
And I want to know him and everyone else, all you here. I don't want to see your faces and appears this morning, because the Lord have mercy. What? You can't even begin to quantify or qualify that by saying that's how it's going to be. My mama died and left her soul, left a cancer-riddled body. And I know we talk about, in the past we talked about that body will be fixed and so on and so forth. What? If my mom died at 32, how old was she?
73.
73. She died at 73. Would she be resurrected in that category?
There you go.
No. My daddy died at 59. Very sickly looking. Will he be resurrected in that, even with a physically perfect body, would he be resurrected as a 59-year-old man? No. The infant that was of the elect and has died, will they be resurrected as a baby? No. It hath not yet appeared what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, as we're going to be raised in a glorified form.
Yes.
And let's join David when he said, when I wake in your likeness, I'll be satisfied. Okay? Let's join him. But how I want to know, for just for the sake of discussion,
I want to know Marion Holt is in the fullness and the glory of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. This is how I want Him to know me and how I want us to know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said, when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords hath delivered up the kingdom and hath subjected Himself to the Father, then God shall be all and in all.
Yes.
And then we will know one another and Him in the glory that He knows us.
Yes.
So, take the anchor chain off of your imagination if you've got one. I'm not being cute. Beloved, we've got to start looking at this man Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
For who He is.
Yes.
So let's take the anchor chain off of our imagination and put it on the promise, even though it might be lacking. The promise might not be full of details, but God, who cannot lie, made the promise and will be raised in the glory of the glorified Jesus Christ. Now you hear again. I used to insult Him. When I said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to see the nail prints in His hand and the wound in His side. No, you're not. Did John see it on the Isle of Patmos? No, he did not. Because the glorified Christ is the one that occupies the throne.
Yes.
Paul said to the Corinthians, when he came to them there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at it quickly. Because he says it in a few words, but it is a very involved and in terms of details and what all's included in it. It is a very involved statement spoken in a few words. And he said, chapter 2, verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined." That's strong. We ought to be more determined about a lot of things, particularly our attitude and our thoughts toward the Lord Jesus. He said, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Flip over quickly to Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm going to let you go. But we'll probably pursue this further because it's... I told Brother Bill, I said, before that I began to understand about Jesus, and I said, if he's talking about the Lord, if the Lord will bless him, maybe we'll hear some of it. Study in Colossians and some of the things that I looked at here. I told him this morning, I said they would lead me over there, and I'd say, well, I'm going to stay away from there. And Brother Bill preached about that. But listen to me very carefully. Those of other faiths who set forth that you've got to accept Christ, and they're saying it from the standpoint, now they're right in the word, but they're wrong in the application.
Yes.
Because I'm here to tell you this morning, in order to be saved, not to be born again.
Yeah, right.
See, the overwhelming majority of God's little sheep need to be saved after they've been born again.
Amen.
And the Bible is clear. In John 1, it says, "He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." Quick comment on that. Every son of God is a child, but not every child of God is a son.
Amen.
So, the terminology, you must receive Christ to be saved. And you must.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not
This is what I'm saying. It's taking your anchor chain off of your imagination, the imaginations of your heart, and what men have told you, taking the anchor chain off of that and putting it on Jesus. That is receiving Him.
Amen. Amen.
You must believe Him to be delivered from that condemnation, that feeling of condemnation. Not only that, there are a lot of people who think that they are complying. Now, they're not Jews either. A lot of them call themselves Baptists who think they're complying with the righteous demand of God in the law. And they're under condemnation. And they, many times they don't feel it. Many of them, you remember, first one, saints. You remember what we read over in Daniel chapter 12 when Michael, that great prince, shall stand for his people? And I said, how did he stand? He stood in the face of the law that was against them. Not only did he stand in the face of it, he took it on.
Right. Right.
And in that third chapter of that Roman letter, Paul writes, but now, the righteousness of God without the law. That's not in the absence of the law, but it is outside of the parameters, the control of the law. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And it says over there in Daniel chapter 12, he said, and they that sleep in the dust shall arise. And so say, there's the two resurrections, because it says one to glory and honor, and one to eternal or everlasting contempt. And they stop right there. But the writer goes on, Daniel, as he's moved by the Holy Ghost, he goes on and talks about how they that turn others or souls. James says the same thing. Jude says the same thing. But he says they that turn others. Paul said, knowing therefore that in more ways than one, he used the terminology, but in a place that comes to memory right off of that, he said, knowing therefore the terror of God, that's the temporal judgment of God, I persuade men.
Right.
And in other places, he talked of persuading men. And so Daniel says, and they that turn men into righteousness,
mm-hmm.
And that's not being born again either.
No.
I'd say, look, come out of prison here, buddy. The door's open.
Yeah.
The door's open.
Yeah.
Come out of there. Come out of that grave. The stone is moved. You're alive. Come out of there.
Yeah.
Come over here where the light is and quit stumbling around, groping around in the dark. And that's what Daniel is talking about, saints. He's talking about it. But there are those who go their lifetime, precious, precious little lambs of God. I've got one example in mind right now, and I know there are many others. But I've got two. Another one came to mind. Remember, I just can't do it. I know, but I just can't do it. And another one said, God won't save me. I've been too bad. Why? Because the law of God was written in their hearts, and they understood what they were. And there's a vast number of people like that who live all their lives in contempt. They see themselves in that way, in contempt. And that's what Daniel was talking about.
Yes, amen. Amen.
But from time to time, here's where we need grace. We need to walk cautiously. We need all kinds of help. But from time to time, God uses us as a vessel. You don't have to be pastor and evangelist.
Yeah.
somebody might come to you. You know, there are people that could come to you easier than they could come to me or Brother Bill. Because here again, preachers, pastors have gone about the business of promoting themselves and exalting themselves and building them up to that they're bigger than life. Well, I'm here to tell you, we're not.
Amen.
We're not. But nevertheless, and it ought not be this way, precious little lambs of God are intimidated. So let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. That's not getting out there soul winning. Let your light so shine that somebody can see it. And they might come and say, why is your light so bright? And like Peter said, be ready to give an answer when asked about the hope that is within you.
Jesus.
Oh, count yourself blessed that the Lord would use you an earthen vessel in such a way. Not only count yourself blessed, but we ought to desire it. But men have been encouraged. And while we refer to those Arminians as being the culprits, and what Arminian believes, if it's simply its name, that the philosophy came from a man named James Arminius, back way hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and he was the father of the free will doctrine, so to speak. That's he's credited there. So those who say you have to do this, 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 and this to be born again, they're referred to as Arminians. And that is a great offense against the glory of Jesus Christ. It relegates him to being weak and beggarly and having such a strong and great desire but not being able to fulfill it, and it's contrary to Scripture. And we won't get into all the details of that, because here's what I want to tell you. What the Primitive Baptists set forth is worse than what the Arminians set forth. And that is, we have the truth. And if you don't believe, you can't be an elect child of God if you don't believe the truth. They might not voice that too much, but it goes there. And I might be willing to show enough kindness on you and your spiritual ignorance that maybe the Lord will show favor to you. No, that's not the words, saints, but that's the thought that is put forth.
That's right.
And that's a greater insult, because in the general sense, the Primitive Baptist people claim something to themselves that was given them initially by the Almighty.
Amen.
And the Apostle Paul addressed the Primitive Baptist in 1 Corinthians 20. He said, what have you that you didn't receive? Well, beloved, if we've received it, let us put our face in the dirt and say, Lord, I don't know why you gave it to me, but thank you that you did. And maybe use it. Maybe you will bless me for that gift to be used to lift up some precious fallen little sheep. But no, if one comes along bleeding and lost, and maybe limping a little bit, they say, get away from here, you're not good enough to be in the flock. And then the Arminian, it's a veiled philosophy, but in one great sense, among the Primitive Baptists, there is this vain philosophy in the state that man is being exalted. There is absolutely nothing in any man, whether he believed the truth or whether he went through a system, there is absolutely nothing in a man that would suffice to bring him
into a living relationship with the Almighty other than the mediation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And to put it in perspective, did I ever say turn to Hebrews chapter 1? And I'm going to quit. And I'm going to read practically the whole chapter, and there's verses in here and one that would we would refer you back to John 1 after he said that, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And as I said, one of ours, a very popular preacher, had been very effectual in years past through here, traced his family history and saw that he said, my ancestors were members of the true church over across the ocean. And I said, well, he totally had forgotten what he read in John chapter 1, that it is not by blood ancestry. It is not by the will of flesh. It's not in you. It is not by the will of man. There's not a man who can persuade you or who can choose you. But it is by God. And then you read on down a little bit. And John said, stay right there, Hebrew. You'll know this. But I don't want to leave any of it out. Stay right there. I want to, hopefully, bring this man into focus a little bit so we can begin, at least. We can't come to it today, folks. I told you, we've gotten so far away. We've gotten so far away, I don't know if we even recognize him. And we can't get right back to it today, but we can start working our way.
Amen. Amen.
And God help us to do that. And God keep us humble while we do so. And after he said that which were born of, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And he said in the Word. You know, he starts it out in the beginning. What's the Word? It's his gospel. But he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And listen to the focus on this man by an apostle. He said, and we beheld his glory. His glory. He was in possession of a glory. That was not, he didn't ask for it. He didn't work for it. But the Father said, we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Remember what Peter said? Peter was starting to see that glory when he said, where would we turn? Thou only hast the words of life.
Yeah.
John said, we beheld his glory. And Brother Bill and I have referred to so many times to Proverbs chapter 8, he was the Father's delight, so he did not work for the glory. The Almighty imbued him with the glory. He put it upon him. He made him glorious, and when the Almighty makes him glorious, and that's what he's going to do to us in the resurrection. And it's not going to be something that was in us. It's going to be his doing.
Yes.
But this man has been demeaned as not being able, being weak, and people. I had a man tell me one time, and he backed up and hunted, and I love him. I hug his neck every time I see him, and my heart breaks for him. I believe he's a precious little lamb of God. But one time he told me, he said, "I was kind of a target at this particular time." But it's okay. I can laugh about it. I'll laugh about it a few days after. It hurt for a while. But anyway, you talk about the Almighty and dealing with men. And he said, I said, so what you're saying is that if a man has long hair on his head, that God, through the Holy Ghost, can't reach him, can't touch him, can't do anything with him. He said, no. I said, to any degree. He said, and he backed up and put him. He said, absolutely not. Well, I'm here to tell you, saints, a God who cannot do that is not God.
Amen.
and a Jesus who just wanted to do what he could to help us is not the Lord of glory.
Amen.
And he testified, I have done, I've completed that which you sent me to do.
That's right.
What was that? To justify all those that he had given him before the foundation of the world. And it's a vast number.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about seeing them get on their knees and shedding tears and praying something. I'm not interested in that. That's his business. What I'm interested in is if they're in prison under bondage, under the weight of the law and darkness, in the ditch, lame, sick. What I'm interested in is their faith being turned to Jesus Christ and them, you know. Jesus sent word to John the Baptist. And by the way, let me just touch this. John the Baptist's faith in Jesus never failed.
Amen.
When he said, go ask him.
Yeah.
John knew he was about to have his head lopped off. And he had some old boys that had been faithful disciples of his. And he loved them dearly. And he was concerned about them. And he said, in essence, of saying, I'm about to be taken out of here. I'm going to point you to one who is much better than me.
Hey.
And when he said, go ask, he wasn't saying it that he might know. He was saying it that they might know.
Amen.
Get off of this stuff, people.
Hey.
He was the porter.
Yes.
He was the groomsman. The friend of the bridegroom. And we have been so... gallant that we think that we could... Oh, Lord, I wish... John said, I'm not worthy to... unlatches the loosen the latches on his sandals. I want to tell you something, saints. There are none of us, in terms of service and commitment, there are none of us that are worthy to loose John the Baptist's sandals.
Amen.
That's right. Jesus said.
And nevertheless, Jesus said, "Of men born of woman, there's none greater, but the least in the kingdom is greater than him."
Amen. Amen.
But to get there, you'll never think about it in your mind. And to get to that place where the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist is the one who is immersed in humility.
Yes. Amen.
Who is willing to think not on his own things, but on the things of others. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, let's separate this man out, okay? Let's put him where he belongs, all right? Let's in our mind. Let's say, hey, we've got this man bound up in weakness. Let's acknowledge it in our minds. I've done it, you've done it. Brother Dan, he says, Dan, fess up. Not been too long ago. He said, I pray, Lord, why can't I come to this a little easier? And then immediately the answer was, because you don't believe me. And I before he got the words out of his mouth, I said, been there, Dan. I said, Lord, why won't you help me? And the words came, you don't believe me. And I said it in this way, because I don't believe you. So let's break the bands of our vile imagination, our weak, pitiful imagination, and let's set this man apart where he belongs. And then we'll, if the Lord will help us, we will labor. And understanding him to bring him and us together in a relationship.
Yeah.
But that's to come later. We got to get this man where he belongs. I know we say things. I know sometimes we think things. But he's not always there in our minds. And it's not mine. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now listen. Oh, we just breeze over this. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, I believe it is, he said, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. Not some of it, all of it.
whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom, here we go, this puts him back in the Garden of Eden, by whom also he made the worlds, and it's more than that, who being the brightness of his glory, the glory of God, and the express image of his person, the person of God, who is an unembodied soul or spirit. The express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power when he has by himself purged our sins. You hear that? Not with my cooperation. Not by any prayer that I might pray. But when he had by himself. And that's not only he did it alone, but it was by himself.
Yes. Yeah.
By his soul and spirit and body.
Yes.
He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And we're not talking about just the metaphysical beings that we can't see with the naked eye. And I believe there's a host of them, but I can't comment on them because the Bible don't give us much of Paul. Warns us such, of which we cannot say anything in particular at this time, I believe it. But beloved, it's not only those, a more excellent name than they. You remember we touched on Moses a little bit last week. He's also talked about Moses.
That's right.
Moses and Isaiah and all the prophets, because the Jews in their vain, secular humanistic religion, they had contrived from the precious things that God had provided. They were all time coming at him with these various angels. Moses gave us this. Moses said that. Abraham said this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this man hath attained a more excellent name than I, right? For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. Listen at this. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. These are Old Testament quotes, primarily in the Psalms. And again, when he bringeth in the first, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him.
Mm-hmm.
Both earthy and metaphysical spirits.
Yes. Yes.
But unto the Son, he saith, listen at this, unto the Son, the man Christ, the man who was made a little lower than the angels. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness. And by the way, when he says, thy throne, O God, that's God speaking to the Son.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, thy throne, O God, and what he is referring to is what we read in that all the fullness of, in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that's not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is all the authority mm-hmm. of God Jehovah mm-hmm. Almighty.
Amen.
That's the fullness of the Godhead.
Yes.
But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Listen, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. He is set apart.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And thou, Lord, in the beginning, and here he's testifying of the Son, thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And that has more to do with some of the elements of the tabernacle and temple worship than it has to do with the universes, the physical
yes.
universes.
Yes.
But that's another subject for another time. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And while you're hunting the song, Dan, over in Hebrews
chapter 7. Verse 26 says, "For such a high priest became us." Listen, here's the separation. Here's his separateness. "Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself." I want to keep going, Brother Bill, but I got to quit. "For the law maketh men..." chapter 8, verse 3 says, "For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve as the example." So we understand that he is set apart in glory and honor and potency, strength and power and ability and completeness. I told you several months ago, Joshua, he said, "Choose this day who you shall serve." But the Lord had shown himself to Israel in a mighty way there in the desert. But he has not been presented in the last several hundred years, maybe 500 or 600, maybe 1,000 years. He has not been presented in the fullness or in the sense, the mighty sense to which he should have been. So it would be a fool's errand for me to just throw out a demand here and say, "Choose today who you're going to serve." There are men who claim they're serving the Lord, but they're serving their own self-indulgence and thinking how that they've been made with him. But anyway, I will not dare throw a challenge to you to say, "Choose today who you're going to serve," unless you know what your choices are.
Yes,
and if the Lord help me, I'm going to try to present Jesus. You know, there's a song that says, "May I present Jesus to you." I probably didn't say it before in my lifetime, but now I know that I'm not able. I'm not able in just a few words to present Jesus to you, but you pray for me. Let's seek him. Let's look at the presentation of Jesus together.
Amen.
So that we might worship him in the way that we have been made to do.
Yes.
Fellowship one with another while we sing a song.
164.
There's always